The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
All right, we're back with another exciting episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. Gene, I've always wanted to ask you, since you're a big baseball fan, have you ever traded or sold baseball cards?
I had it when I was a kid. I had baseball cards, and my kids had them for a number of years, and then but they still have them, actually, like in storage. So why did you?
No, because I wasn't a big baseball
cards
card
were very
fan.
Very cool. Yeah, for a bit when I was a kid, and I still am a big baseball fan now. I went to my first game at Wrigley Field.
Just
last week, first game. Have you ever been to Wrigley Field?
No.
So if you have not been to Wrigley Field, you like baseball, even if you don't like baseball, it's absolutely a place to go. It is, first of all, it's like very, very cool, very, very young. There's no parking there because it's in the city.
Yeah.
When you take the red line there, like the Chicago Transit, and drops you off like right there. Tons of the food is terrible. It's
really?
Like the worst ballpark food ever. It's basically the standard hot dogs and, peanuts. It's like, it's not like you go to ballparks nowadays and there's a lot more selection.
Yeah.
And I think they do that on purpose because it keeps it old school. And then there's tons of stuff all around the park, to go to. Because the Cubs won the World Series last year, if it was a great atmosphere before, it's a great atmosphere now. People are really into it. They love their team and they're all whatever. And then just the design of the stadium, there was terrible seats in that stadium that you can't believe because the stadium was built. Its first game was in 1914.
Yeah.
So they didn't have like the kind of...
Older than you.
By a couple of years. they didn't have like the architects that they have today. And so there was like seats are like, geez, who would, but you could just picture people... men, primarily, I'm assuming, smoking cigars and wearing hats, Chicago Cubs. The scoreboard is from 1934, and it's the same scoreboard. They have a guy up there switching the numbers, between innings.
Really?
For all the games that's going on. It's all manual.
Oh, wow.
And
I didn't
it's
know that.
So cool, and the ivy wall as well. And then, of course, there's the rooftop seats all around, and there's a whole, story about that as well. Fun thing to do if you're in Chicago is to see the Cubs play at Wrigley.
With
it's
the
classic.
Food, I feel like people go to the games. They just, if as long as there's beer and peanuts, people are happy.
Yeah, it's people expect. I think everybody eats at baseball games. Like hot dogs is also like sort of a big draw.
So Hartford has a new baseball team called the Hartford Yard Goats.
Yeah,
and
Yard Goats.
Yard goats apparently is a railroad term.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's like
you got
a railroad
me.
Yard
okay.
goat or something. So we used to have a team, a hockey team, NHL, called the Hartford Whalers.
Right.
And they took a lot of the fun stuff about the Whalers and brought that over to the Yard Goats. Like they're using the same colors. And
cool. It's a cool
they
idea.
Use, the Whalers had a song that they played whenever they scored a goal in hockey called Brass Bonanza. I will link to that in the show notes. And the Yard Goats play that when they get a run.
Dang it.
So it's really fun. But the food situation there is crazy.
I'm sure it's amazing, right?
They have a barbecue deck
where
they have this another small business from Hartford called Bear's Smokehouse.
And smart. Ribs and all that kind of stuff.
They sell
so
something
smart.
That's pulled pork with cornbread and macaroni and cheese.
Mm. Delicious.
All kinds of everything.
All for only like $47.
But it's funny because since it's minor league baseball, like I feel like a lot of people don't even watch the game.
Yeah.
They're just going more for the social aspects of it. And there's tons of people there, like college students and people.
Now I travel a lot, so I try to go. I like to go to out of town baseball games, but I love going to minor league parks as well.
They're
it's
really fun.
Really fun, and it's really and I like this. I like watching. I'm a big baseball fan. I love the kids playing. Like I'm into that 20-year-old kid from Oklahoma City that's playing for some farm team for the Yankees and like, could this kid possibly make the bigs? I love those stories. The major league parks are great. They're just expensive as well. I paid $110 for my ticket.
Oh my gosh.
To go to Wrigley Field.
Wow.
I got like, it's only me. Because I was out on my own traveling, so I went by myself, which I love to do, and I got like the best seat in the house. I was like, give me. So I was in like two rows off the field. So I'm not saying you have to spend that amount of money, but regardless, it's still expensive. I mean, the average ticket's like north of $50.
Yeah.
And then you're buying the food and all, you're still dropping $100 on it.
The minor league tickets are like $10 to $12.
I know. It's great. So it's great.
Awesome. All right. We are going to be right back with our question, which oddly, like, kind of does relate to this.
Okay.
After a message from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Okay, we're back, and our question is from Gabriel in Wisconsin. And he's a vintage reseller, so that's why I was asking you about baseball cards, if you ever sold anything.
I see.
When you were young.
A vintage, so it's like sort of like old clothes and old stuff. And,
yeah. Okay. Or even furniture. Okay. That okay. type of thing.
I'm with you.
Okay. So Gabriel writes, how do I know if I'm ready to start selling my products online? In addition to my brick and mortar store, what do I need to do to get started? So we answered a similar question to this recently, and I think the answer was Shopify. Would you think that still applies in this
Maybe. You know, it's funny when you talk about selling online. It's an odd question. Like, how do I know if I'm ready to sell online? You're always ready to sell online. If somebody's ready to give you a credit card or write you a check, I don't care if they're in Wisconsin or they're in France, you want to sell it, right? So if it were me, I would dip my toes just to see if products are selling. Etsy could be started. Craigslist?
Yeah.
eBay, right? I mean, these are, Amazon, it's very simple to set up an Amazon store, an eBay store, a Craigslist store, Alibaba. If you want to reach, very easy to set up a store where you're reaching, that actually is reaching into the Chinese market, but fine. Checks cash as well.
Yeah.
So, to set up a store is very simple to do. Shopify and BigCommerce and those other, those are more point of sale technologies that then give you like an e-commerce site. Yeah. I would think like, you don't have to do anything with your website. You don't have to like build it out. Just go and set up a store, or just to start things off, just start selling, pick a half a dozen or 10 items and offer them for sale on Craigslist and see if they go. We keep getting back to the same topic and whenever I talk to people that are selling stuff online merchants, I'm telling you right now, the people that make it there, they have somebody do it for them. Yeah. It's just like the whole marketing thing. It's you're running your store. What's this? This
Gabriel.
Is Gabriel. So Gabriel, you're running your store right now, and that's taking up your time. If it were me, I would probably be researching and maybe thinking like, okay, I'll pick Amazon or I'll pick eBay. I might, just set up something rudimentary. But then once you understand the process and how it all kind of works, you have like a knowledge of that, I would hand it off to somebody else. I would hire a part-timer and I would say, listen, we're going to be selling everything I got here in the store, catalog it, let's get it sold on, put it up for sale on eBay as well, and design out our store on eBay because they give you a bunch of tools and all that to make graphically good and all that. And then you say to the person you're at, people say like, oh my God, this costs, you got to hire somebody. No, you don't have to do that. You can say, I'll tell you what, we put it on the eBay store and 20% of the profits are yours. So, right?
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's your incentive. Go out there and, Gabriel, you can pay for whatever the graphics are on eBay, or you want to get good professional photographs made of these things. So maybe you put out that money. But then you say to the person saying, look, you want to make some money on your own, I'll give you ownership of my eBay store and you take 20%, I'll take 80%, and see where
that's
that goes.
Good idea.
Yeah. And then you'll see how it goes. And if it turns into a business, you renegotiate that.
Great. Okay. All right. Great advice. We'll be right back with our word of brilliance.
Are you looking for a great idea to start a new business? Well, Small Biz Ahead has 99 of them for you. Our new ebook, 99 New Small Business Ideas, is the first place you should look if you're interested in starting your business. You'll learn about everything from business service industries that could lead to lucrative freelance work, emerging industries such as solar panel installation and professional blogging, and even tech industries that could turn into the next big thing. Head on over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
We're back with Gene's word of brilliance.
This old house.
What?
We talked on a previous podcast about Mr. Rogers. So maybe I'm on this PBS thing right now.
All
but
right.
You ever watch This Old House?
No.
You ever heard of This Old House?
Yeah, of course I have.
Yeah, okay. So it's like, it's the show where you would, people, the Norm, and what was the name of the main guy?
Bob?
Yeah, that's it. It was Bob. Yeah, they would go and they would like renovate some house in New England or whatever. And it was one of the, it was the very first of the home remodeling shows. Mm-hmm. It's like 30 years old. I mean, it was introduced like in the 70s or something is when it came out. It started out in Boston, then it went nationwide. And now it's like, you can't change the channel without hitting some, you know, flip it or flop it or this or that or, you know, whatever. So, you know, This Old House, though, was the one that started, you know, that whole trend. Do you know when This Old House started over 30 years ago, they were afraid and they were getting complaints from contractors complaining about the show. They did not want this show to be aired.
Why?
Because the contractors were concerned that Norm was giving away their secrets on air, right? Isn't that crazy? And there was like this whole thing. It was a bunch of contractors that were like complaining to the station in Boston at the time, saying that happily they ignored them and whatever. And what it turned into was This Old House and all the shows that it ultimately spawned turned into like this huge industry of renovators in a home. Yeah. I mean, it turned out to be a gold mine for contractors, right? You know, whenever I hear business owners that are, they're so afraid of their so-called proprietary information being stolen by a customer, I always think like, dude, you are being very, very short-minded. You know, I mean, you and I have talked before about, you know, when you educate your customers. I mean, we do events, we do free training of our products. Like if you're a client of mine, come, we do it once a quarter, you go, we'll train you for free. And be like, God, you're giving that away for free. Aren't you afraid? Believe me. Right. I mean, for the people that come, there's a small percentage. Maybe they won't ever use this again. Most of the time, they're like, this is great. We'd like you guys to come in and do more work for us. You know what I mean? Yeah. Thank you for the help. Or thank you for the training. We still don't understand it. Why don't you come in here and just face this for us? You know, don't be afraid to share your knowledge and to educate. Nobody's going to steal. They're not going to figure out what you do and then do it in front of, you know, do it instead of you. And your employees, don't be afraid to teach them things and think they're going to go somewhere else and start their own business and compete against you. If you lack that self-confidence that you can't beat them into the ground because you're that good, maybe you shouldn't be in business, you know, on your own. So don't be like those contractors that were protesting This Old House 30 plus years ago. Don't be afraid.
I remember we gave this advice, or you brought up a story about, I think it was a dog groomer, and she wanted to start sending out emails and she didn't know what to write in the emails. And you said,
give dog grooming tips.
Give dog grooming tips because people are going to read them. And if you send it to 50 people, only one person is going to say, I should do that.
The rest they'll be, are going to say. Right. There'll be some people that will do it. But like you just said, right?
Yeah. The rest are going to book an appointment because they are going to realize, I don't want to. Right. Trim my dog's nails. His ears.
Do you cut your dog's nails? Here we are talking about dogs. That's so gross. Now my daughter, she wants to go to vet school. She comes home. We have her bathe the dog. She cuts the nails. She does that in our kitchen, and she's like has no problem doing that. Or nobody's gonna do that. If you sent out an email explaining the importance of and step by step instructions, nobody's gonna do that.
Only Jean's daughter.
Only my daughter would do it. But they'll appreciate the information. And now that they know, and by the way, now that they appreciate it, now they have a deeper appreciation of what you do.
Yeah.
And also a little bit more confidence so that if they hire you, the dog groomer, they now know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So they can talk intelligently about it with you. And that's helpful as a customer.
When I watch a home and garden show, I don't suddenly think, oh, I can do that. I just think, wow, that's a really impressive thing they did.
Absolutely. And then also if you then hire one of those contractors, you can have an intelligent conversation about, hey, you know, I saw on the show that they did this. I understand whatever. So, and it, you know, it just gets back to, it's just the short-mindedness of some people, or the short-sightedness. Sometimes drives me nuts. And that, you know, This Old House story resonated with me. I was thinking, these contractors are so silly. And of course they were proven wrong a million times over. It's like, nobody's going to steal your ideas, dude. You're fine. This is helping educate your community and provide you more work.
It might actually make some people decide, hey, I want to redo my kitchen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Good advice, Gene. We'll be back in a couple days with another episode. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.